Hey y'all, it's Wo Susanna. Welcome to episode 2 of the How May I Offend You Today podcast. Listen, I got a praise report. Praise report as I sit here on my back porch this evening. I received so much positive feedback, not just from people who are like-minded in political views, but also those who disagree with me on politics. I got so many wonderful and encouraging messages via Messenger and my email, susanna@wosusanna.com. Disclaimer, do not start off an email to me with listen, look, or an expletive. Listen, look here, or an expletive. Because I probably just won't read it. If you want to disagree or have some grievance with me or whatever, that's fine. Just start off by saying, hi, my name is so-and-so, and here's where I have a problem. Maybe you should read this or do that. Don't start off with, look here, burp, I'm not going to read it. But anyway, I got so many encouraging messages yesterday from Democrats. I just want to say thank you for being open-minded and for having healthy debate. And not just being a complete jackass if you disagree with me. I love that. That was so uplifting and just really just made my heart happy. We don't have to agree on things if we can just respect each other and reach out to each other in love and sometimes just agree to disagree. So that's a praise report. Hallelujah. If you have certain political views and you live in a household with the people who have those same views and all of your friends have the same views, you might not realize how nasty politics can get. You may just be in your own little bubble of, well, everybody feels this way. Everybody I know feels this way. And, you know, I don't have to deal with arguments with people. But if you're have a platform, if you have social media and you do voice your political views and people disagree with them, people can be nasty. Nasty, and attack everything down to the way you look, attack your children. I've had that happen, attack your values, your way of life. And so I was so relieved and just a breath of fresh air that people were able to be kind and considerate, even if they didn't agree with everything I said yesterday in the podcast. So that's kudos. I'm just thanking the Lord for it. Thank you, Lord. That's a great praise report. Today, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about Uber Grace. I recently read a book by Charles Martin, who he wrote The Mountains Between Us. He's got a book out called What If It's True? A Storyteller's Journey with Jesus. And it's a phenomenal book. I highly recommend this book. It is the story of Jesus. It's the story of Jesus, but it's told in a way as a storyteller, like someone who witnessed it firsthand is telling what's happening. And of course you get that in the Bible, but it's in a way written in a way that we can understand and in a way that really resonates with us and kind of gives readers a new look at the way Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection went down and how he really loved the people and how Jesus was just such a phenomenal man without sin. It's just a storyteller's journey with Jesus. That's what Charles Martin calls it. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book. And in the book, he addresses something called Uber Grace, which is something that has been on my mind for years. And I don't think I've ever really hit on it in my podcasts or books or blogs or anything like that. I've never really hit on it, but I think it's time to hit on it. It's past time to address it. Uber Grace is this notion that no matter what we do, the Lord loves us and forgives us, which is true. It's absolutely true. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and has incredible mercy and grace and forgiveness for us, no matter what horrible, wretched thing you've done. But Uber Grace is when we take advantage of that. When we know Jesus will forgive us of something, so we keep on doing it. Or we say, you know, we have this notion that Jesus is some Jerry Garcia hippie. you know, floating around on a cloud in a VW van that says, hey, man, do whatever you want to do. If it feels good, do it. It's okay. As long as you're a good person, as long as you're nice to other people, hey, do whatever you want to do. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus told the woman at the well, your faith has healed you. Go and sin no more. He didn't just say your faith has healed you. You're forgiven. He told her, he gave her a direction. He gave her an instruction. Go and sin no more. Sin is a real thing. If sin was not real, Jesus would not have died on the cross for us. There would be no reason for him to. There would be no reason for him to have been bloodied and beaten, crucified on a cross, go into hell, and be resurrected 3 days later. There would be no reason for that if, hey, it's all right, do whatever you want to do, as long as it makes you feel good. You're not hurting anybody else. That's not true. Sin is sin. Sin is a real thing. And Jesus, as loving and merciful and kind as he is, detests sin. My sin, your sin. Have you ever done something that you knew was wrong and you're saved and you immediately have a conviction for it? You think, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. That conviction is a wonderful thing. That conviction comes from the Holy Spirit and tells us, hey, you messed up. You need to repent and get right with the Lord. Now, what doesn't come from Jesus is condemnation. Conviction and condemnation are two totally different things. Condemnation comes from Satan. Condemnation is, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. God will never forgive me of it. I have to feel guilty for the next 8 months over this and just be miserable and downtrodden and feel horrible about myself as penance for my sin. That's condemnation. Another thing Satan does is says, hey, you can get away with that. Go on and do it. It'll be fun. It'll be all right. It's not going to hurt anybody. And then as soon as you do it, Satan tells you, you'll never be forgiven of that. That's the kind of mind games that butthole likes to play with us, okay? That's the kind of thing the enemy likes to do with us. That is not from Christ. Condemnation is not from Christ. But sin is absolutely a real thing. And this world that we live in glorifies sin to no end. I watched a music video the other day by Cardi B, because I'd heard all this hype about Cardi B had interviewed President Biden and she had this video out. And I looked up the lyrics. Blech, disgusting. The song is called WAP. I'm not going to tell you what WAP stands for. Go Google it yourself. But before you do, before you Google what WAP stands for, you may want to take some Tums and Pepto. Because if you have any kind of moral compass, it's going to make you sick. It's going to make you cringe a little bit, or a lot of it, I hope. It's just disgusting, and this is the crap our kids are listening to, okay? But the world is inundated with this kind of crap. And if you think that a song like WAP is disgusting and gross, well, you're a pearl clutcher and a, you know, you're just a real, you know, prude and this and that. By gosh, I want to be a prude if liking that kind of thing means I'm not a prude, okay? But this world is so inundated with sin and the brainwashing that, oh, that's popular culture. Everybody's doing it. It's okay. In the Old Testament, God cared about stuff like that. Back when you had to sacrifice animals and men were supposed to have long, couldn't cut their hair and, you know, this and that and da da da. That's Old Testament. Jesus came and changed all that. Now, we can just do whatever. Jesus loves us as long as we're good people. That is a lie that is authored by Satan himself. You know that. The enemy knows that Jesus and God, he believes in Jesus and God. He knows that. He was in heaven as an angel named Lucifer and was kicked out of heaven for his pride. He knows who God and his son Jesus are very well. And he knows what they deem as sin. He knows what sin is. So his main objective is to tell you that your sin isn't really sin. Oh, it's not that bad. You didn't kill anybody. right? You just did this or you did that. It's not a big deal. That's accepted in today's society. That comes from the enemy through and through. And so when Christians are living in sin and not picking up their cross and nailing to the cross their sin and following Jesus every day, but instead living for themselves, you have to wonder if they're really Christians. I'm not going to question someone's salvation. Only Jesus and that person know their salvation. I am not allowed to judge anyone's salvation. Judge not. I can't judge anyone's salvation. I don't know if somebody prayed the salvation prayer on their knees in their bathroom in 1997. I don't know that. But I do know this, that when you are saved, there is conviction there. God knows I feel it every day for something. And if you see someone who claims to be a Christian living a certain way, doing certain things that the Bible clearly calls out as sin. If the Bible says it's sin, it's sin. Yet Satan has twisted that to say, nah, it's not really sin. Not today. Maybe back then, but not today. If a Christian is living and doing something that is sin and there is no conviction about it, you might question their salvation. If you are doing something that you know is wrong and you become immune to it and it no longer even bothers you and you keep doing it over and over to where it's just become a way of life, there's no conviction there, then maybe you should question your salvation. Another way to tell salvation is the fruits of the Spirit. I know someone who says they were saved in the 80s and yet there has not been a single fruit in their life that would make you think they are saved. They've been living for themselves and living for the world since 1985. Yet they were saved back in the 80s, and you don't lose your salvation. No, you don't lose your salvation. I don't believe you do. However, if you were saved in 1987 and there's absolutely no fruit, you might need to question if when you prayed that salvation prayer, asked Jesus into your heart, said you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, asked Him to forgive you of your sins, if you really meant it, or if you were just repeating something that your vacation Bible school teacher told you to repeat. So, salvation has fruits. There's fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And so many issues of sin deal with self-control. People have no self-control. They are living for themselves. They are living for this world. Now, I'm not going to name off some specific sins. I don't know what sin there is in your life. For me, a sin that I struggled with for a very long time was alcohol, drinking. And I was saved as a kid. Grew up with a great godly mother who prayed fervently for me, which is probably the only reason I'm still alive after drinking and driving 700 nights of my life. But I was convicted of it every morning as I hovered over that toilet throwing up, hungover. I knew, God, this is not what you want for my life. There was a conviction, but there was also a condemnation feeling that I just felt, which was the enemy badgering me. He would tell me on Friday night as I'm getting dressed and getting all dolled up to go to the club, hey, you're going to have a good time tonight. It's okay. Go have fun. Then Saturday morning as I'm hovering over a toilet, oh, Jesus is never going to forgive you of this. What did you say last night? What did you do last night? Did you really drive home that drunk? You don't even remember driving home last night. You are despicable. Jesus is not going to forgive you of this. Jesus only forgives, says to forgive your brother 7 times 7. You've been drunk more than 49 times in your life. You've passed the limit. There's no way. No, there's no way. This is just the life you're going to live. You're just going to be a drunk like your daddy was. You're going to be an alcoholic like your father was. That's what you're going to do. Let me go back and rephrase that. My daddy wasn't a drunk. My daddy was an alcoholic. My daddy was a great, loving man and a wonderful father, but he had an issue with alcohol. But that's what the enemy told me over and over. You're going to be just like your dad. You're going to be just like your dad. You know, it's just life is just going to be, meaningless. You're just going to be dependent on alcohol for the rest of your life. Granted, I was 19, 20 years old. So all my friends and I were getting hammered every night of the week and having to get up and go to work. And it was just a horrible time in my life. My husband and I had started dating around that time. We both drank. We both fought like cats and dogs. It was just not a good thing. And then we thought, hey, we'll get married and everything will work out. Then we drank and fought the first year we were married. And it was not good. But I did have a conviction. And the Lord saying to me, you know, I had that condemnation speaking to me for a little while. But then that pure, peaceful conviction would creep into my mind and say, Susanna, turn back to me. I love you and I forgive you. And so though I kept sinning and doing things I wasn't supposed to do, eventually that conviction and the Lord nudging me took root. And I said, God, I can't live like this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I quit. I quit. My husband has the same testimony. My husband was a beer drinking, karaoke singing, pool playing fool till 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And the Lord just kept nudging him. And he said, I can't do this anymore. We got involved in church. We had children. And the Lord completely changed our lives. We could not keep living in that sin because of that conviction, because we were both saved as children. And the Lord was telling us, this is not the way to be. Now, I have not drank in years. I told you on the podcast yesterday, not that level of drinking that I did years ago where I was staying drunk and going out and partying and acting a fool and dancing on tables and all kind of, I thank God we didn't have social media back then. Thank goodness for that. My Lord, I would be put in Facebook jail for some of the pictures people could post of me. Disgusting and embarrassing. And I told you yesterday on the podcast that, you know, the pandemic hit and, you know, I won't lie. Every few Fridays, I'll sit on my back porch. I'll have a White Claw. I'm not back here getting drunk on my back porch. I'm not out here acting a fool. I'm not driving drunk. I know that drunkenness is sin. I do not believe a glass of wine with your supper or a drink on your back porch is sin. However, if the Lord tells me, Susanna, it is sin, I don't approve of that. I don't like you doing it. You're going to be back on a slippery slope. Then you know what? That conviction will work on me and take root with me because I am saved by the blood of Jesus. And I'll say, okay, Lord, that's it. I choose you over a White Claw on my back porch any day. Any day, Lord. So I do have to check my heart and pray about that. Lord, if what I'm doing is not pleasing to you, show me the way. Show me. We as Christians have that responsibility to check our hearts constantly, to ask the Lord to show us things that are not right, that are not pleasing to Him. I say in my book that'll be coming out soon, How May I Offend You Today, He's the only one I'm worried about offending. He's the only one I'm worried about grieving. I don't want to grieve the heart of the Lord. I don't want to do things that don't please Him. And as born-again Christians, that's how we should view our relationship with the Lord. We don't want to do things that grieve His heart. So many of us, myself included, idolize our sin. We know in the back of our minds, yeah, this probably doesn't please the Lord, but you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. The Lord will forgive me of it. And, you know, God and I are okay. You know, Jesus is my guy. He understands my heart. He knows I love Him. But I'm just going to hold on to this one thing. And that is no way for us to be. You know, this world, as I said earlier, just glorifies sin and says, hey, it's okay. But we as Christians are called to a higher standard, that we are not to be of this world, that we are to be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit and do what He calls us to do and live a life that is pleasing to Him. And the enemy wants to make us forget that. The enemy wants to tell us, you know, you're a good person. It's okay. You can do this every once in a while. You can do this every weekend. You can live this way. Jesus is forgiving and merciful. He'll overlook it. He'll forgive it. That's uber grace. That's taking advantage of the grace that Jesus gives us. That is taking advantage of what was done on the cross for us. I don't know if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, but I tell you, if you have and you love the Lord, You can't watch it without crying. You can't watch it without thinking and being so heartbroken at what our Savior went through for us, for me, for you. No matter how wretched we are, and how dare any of us take advantage of that? How dare any of us twist Scripture to suit our own needs? How dare any of us follow the Word, the world, instead of the Word? How dare we do that? But we're all guilty of it. And listen, I am not just sitting here making a podcast preaching to you. I am preaching to myself. I need daily reminders. Hey, that's not what God intends for my life. Don't do it. Nail that to the cross. Pick up that cross and follow Him. And you know what? When we do that, our lives are so much more peaceful. There is a reward for that. Not only rewards in heaven, but there is a reward here on this earth of just peace, being covered in peace. So many times I have confessed a sin and just am immediately, thank God, flooded with a peace that passeth all understanding, and a love and a security in knowing that I belong to the Lord and that I am doing what is pleasing to Him. And my life goes so much smoother, and the lives of those around me go so much smoother. Our sin does not just affect us. It affects everyone around us as their sins affect us. You know, you think about a heavyset Baptist Southern preacher standing on a pulpit preaching fire and damnation and jumping up and down while his jowls jiggle and sweating and pulling out a handkerchief and telling you you're all destined to go to hell. And I'm here to say that that notion is not so absurd. Hell is a real place. I'm not out here jumping up and down on my patio table telling you you're going to hell. If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus and accept Christ as your Savior, you're not going to hell. You're not going to hell. But hell is real. Hell is not just some fairy tale. And you know, another lie the devil tells us is that he isn't real. That's one of the main lies the devil tells us. Hell's not real. He's not real. Everything's all good. Live your life. You do you, boo. I bet the devil's got that tattooed on his arm. You do you, boo. Because he loves that logic. He loves that. You just do what you want to do. It's all right. You do you. Whatever tickles your pickle. Which I never understood that. It sounds sadistic. Have you ever tickled a pickle? Oh, gosh, I can't even say the words. It's sickening. But hell is real. Hell is hot. But thank God for the blood of Jesus and the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't have to go there. And as I said before, I don't know for certain. I don't know for sure, but I don't think we can lose our salvation. I believe, though, when we are truly saved, the fruits of the Spirit show forth and show in our lives and to those around us. And our moral standards. Morals are a good thing. You don't have to be labeled a pearl clutcher if you're not for watching kids twerking in little outfits when they're 4, 5, 6 years old. You don't have to be a pearl clutcher to believe that. You don't have to be a pearl clutcher if you refuse to watch things on Netflix and Hulu that don't sit right with your spirit. So many times I watch shows that do not sit right with my spirit. It's a great storyline. It's a great show. I want to watch it. I'm trying to get past all the GD bombs they're dropping. But something in my spirit says, hey, what's this doing for your life? What kind of entertainment is this? Surely to goodness, you can find something better to do. Surely you can find something better to watch, something better to read, i.e. the Word of God. Surely you can spend your time in a more substantial way. This is, you know, what goes in our ears affects our lives. It affects our hearts. It affects how we think. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Well, you know what? Big ears and big eyes need to take that heed and that warning as well. Be careful what you put in your mind. Garbage goes in, garbage comes out. So we need to follow those cues and those promptings of the Holy Spirit. Hey, this isn't for me. This sin isn't for me. This show isn't for me. This crowd of people are not for me. Oh, I love them. I love them. They're fun to hang around. I love them. But they're just not for me. I'm going to have to love them from a distance and pray for them. This temptation is not for me. This way of life is not for me. That's the Holy Spirit prompting you. And just like a father disciplines his children out of love, I have worn my son out.
for hiding from me in a shoe carnival one time. Wore him out. He was back in the back corner hiding from me, giggling when he was about 3 years old. And I had the most horrible scenarios running through my mind that he had been kidnapped. He'd been taken out of the store. Something had happened to him. I was terrified. And when I finally found him back there hiding behind those Birkenstocks, I wore his tail out because I love him and because it scared me and it bothered me. And that's what the Lord does with us when he gives us that conviction. It's because he loves us and he knows that he has a better way for our life. The path we're going down is not right. Do not fall for this uber grace nonsense. Yes, Jesus is merciful. Yes, he gives us grace. Oh my gosh, multiple times a day. But let's not take advantage of it. And let's not say, hey, well, he forgave me last time, he'll forgive me this time. Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. Let's not do that crap. Let's stand by our convictions and know that God has such a better plan for our lives. He's so much more wise than we are, and he knows what he's doing. Don't follow the world. Follow the Word. What you see on television and on entertainment and artists and just this world is just, makes you want to gag sometimes. And it's okay. If it makes you want to gag, that's a good sign. If you can't watch Cardi B's WAP video and read her lyrics without cringing, praise God, you're all right. If you watch that and you're like, she dropping a good beat in, and I'm like, that's a good one right there. And you claim to be a Christian, check your heart, baby. Just check your heart. I have to do it daily, and you do too. Hey, thanks for tuning in to this second episode of Whoa, Susanna's How May I Offend You Today. As always, I appreciate the love, the support, the prayers, and the encouragement. I love you guys. I'm praying for every ear who hears this podcast and for my own. As always, whenever I have a word, it's because the Lord has already dealt with me on that subject. I'm not immune to being dealt with. God be dealing with me a lot, so I'm not immune to it, and so that's what prompts my sermons, so to speak. I will post next time I do another podcast, and thank you guys. God bless you. Love each other. Be good to one another, and listen to that still voice known as conviction and the Holy Spirit. God bless.